Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Thank you, Lord. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Really quick. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Obviously, we don't have enough time to go through the entire story and all the events that, you know, led up to Resurrection Sunday, but I want to highlight some things here, you know, as you're turning to Mark chapter 16, because if we were to go through it, we'd be looking at Mark 14 and 15. You know, some of the events, and of course through the Gospels, we see everything that's taken place this week. One of the main things that, you know, kind of started in this was the entire ministry of Jesus Christ. Same issue we have today. You know, we had the religious folk that wanted to just basically serve God the way they wanted to. They didn't want things to change. They liked how it was. They liked the fact that people had to come to them. They liked the authority, the control that they had over. And God said, no, I've got a better way. I want to have a relationship with my people. I don't want them separated from me, right? So we see that through the entirety of Jesus' ministry, but then, of course, you know, in this last week, this final week that we call Holy Week, we see that they're conspiring at a level. And then, of course, you know, Judas gets part of it, and, you know, they conspire against Jesus, and they figure out how and when the opportune time will be. And, of course, they're navigating the Passover feast and how to do things that they don't. It's amazing. They've got no problem killing the great teacher, the prophet, but they're concerned about not breaking their laws, their religious laws. So they had to do it in a certain time frame. But we see that they're planning this, and Jesus, later on, he's preaching, teaching, and he's at a house, and of course, you know, this girl, this lady comes in with the alabaster box and anoints him. Of course, Judas gets mad about this because, you know, he doesn't care about the oil and he doesn't care about the poor. He cares about how much it was worth. He's like, we could have sold that, and that would have been more money that Judas could have stolen. That was his issue. But Jesus, you know, he makes a point to, wait a minute, you guys have an issue with this. Leave her alone. What she has done here today will be spoken of for all of eternity. Because she has anointed my body for its burial. Part of the Jewish custom and laws is, you know, before a body is put into the grave, it's got to be anointed. It's got to be presented and handled properly, which on the day, Friday, that didn't happen. This woman, not even realizing what she's doing, she's already preparing the body. Jesus says, this will be a memorial unto her for all of eternity. We will celebrate this. We will talk about what she did here today. Of course, Garden of Gethsemane, we've already mentioned that, the betrayal and Jesus, you know, dealing with his will and the Father's will. And we're gonna go all the way with this. We're going to get this thing done. He's arrested, false accusation. They mock him, they beat him. They insult him, assault him. They bring him before Pontius Pilate with false charges. I mentioned earlier that Barabbas is offered up in his stead. And of course, you know, the Pharisees, they incite the crowd. No, we want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas, kill the Christ. The chief priests convince everybody to release. We want the sinner. It's amazing how even today Jesus warns about the day you and I live in. Get ready. They're going to reject you. They'd rather have the sinner than those who walk in righteousness. He dealt with it. We're not above the master. We're not above the teacher. They scream out, crucify him. Pilate pleads with him multiple times, but then finally gives into it. Jesus is handed over to the Roman centurions. He's whipped, he's tortured, the crown of thorns. They put a robe on him to mock him, not realizing everything that they were doing. They did it in mockery. They had no idea who they were handling. Then, of course, they, you know, make him carry his own cross to the place of execution. He gets, which is a place that every one of us has to come to. This is why we talk about going back to the foot of the cross. Every human being has one of two choices. Either bow to Jesus or reject him. On that cross, the two thieves, one mocked, one received. But we got to come to the foot of the cross and understand what was done on that day. Amen. They gamble for his clothing. At one point, they think that he's calling out for Elijah. They're making fun of him. Let's stop and watch. Let's wait and see. Let's see if Elijah actually shows up. Then, of course, he gives up the ghost. He dies. The sky goes black. Middle of the day. Skies don't go black in the middle of the day. I said this on Friday. It's as if creation itself bowed its head, closed its eyes to mourn its creator. In the temple, the very thing that the priests were trying to protect, we want to hang on to what we have. We want it the way we want it. The very thing they were trying to protect, God rent that veil from top to bottom.
Yes.
No human hand could ever do that. Yet God did it right in front of their eyes. Then, of course, he's taken off of the cross. Joseph brings him to a tomb that was his, unused, for a rich man. They didn't realize that everything that was taking place, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, being fulfilled, proving who Jesus was and is. And then, of course, that leads us to Mark 16. And that's what I want to deal with just for a couple of moments before we leave here today. Because it's Resurrection Sunday. We see it on all the images, all the banners, that the stone has been rolled away. Just like we had that great day where the stone was rolled away in our lives, stones are still being rolled away in our lives. And it has the same effect. When God shows up and his anointing shows up to roll those stones away, the enemy is terrified. The enemy is immobilized. And we walk in the resurrection life that only Jesus Christ can bring. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Mark 16, verse 1, it says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Nobody paid attention to the fact that Jesus already said, "I've been anointed for my burial." They were so concerned about this, that he wasn't handled properly, that they said, "We've got to make sure that this is taken care of." But they had to wait. Customs, laws, the Sabbath. Nobody moved. Nobody did. They had to wait till Sabbath was passed. And then it says in verse 2 that very early in the morning on the first day of the week, Sunday, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. They didn't wait for the sun to come up. They were ready to go as soon as Sabbath was over. Sabbath isn't, our day ends and begins at midnight, 12 a.m. The Sabbath, the Jewish calendar, customs, times, it's a different timetable. So they were ready to go as soon as Sabbath was over, ceremonially. Before the sun was rising, they were ready to go. They already bought the spices. They were already ready, prepared. We're going to go anoint the body of Jesus Christ. We need to get to him. May that be in the hearts of every one of us. We need to get to him. Verse 3, and it says, "And they said among themselves, who?" That's a good question. "Who? Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" Who? Now, we've got these cute little pictures and paintings and illustrations of, you know, this rock, this stone, this, you know, in front of. Now, in the day, the way this thing worked, when they sealed up a grave, a tomb, not only did they put a stone in front of it, it was a massive stone. They sealed it. So that stone had to be fine, cut down and polished so it would seal up the entryway. But it was also dug into the ground. That when they rolled that stone in, there was no chance, no possibility that that stone was ever being separated. It would drop into the place and almost, you know, some of you guys know this, maybe ladies know this, you know, different, you know, cups, pots, pans, if the fit is so tight that hardly any air can escape, you put those things together and it's like it's impossible to get them apart. Well, now you get the weight of this stone that it drops into the ground, into this notch that was carved out, not just on the wall, but in the ground itself, that this stone is not moving. This was customary in this day, how they handled these things. So when they're going there, they already know that the stone has been rolled in front of it. They were there. They witnessed it. They don't care. We need to get to Jesus.
Yes.
Does on them. Wait a minute. We need to get to them, but who's going to move the stone? How's this going to happen? See, the modern church, that would deter them. Oh, wait a minute. There's a stone in the way. Why bother? Peter, James, and John, they're not going to be able to do this. The sons of thunder, they can't call down anything that's going to cause this to happen. We might as well just call it quits and go home now. Thank God. They said, we got to get to Jesus. We're not stopping. We're going to Jesus. We'll figure this out when we get there. Somebody's going to move that stone because we need to get to Jesus. Amen. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. When you finally decide to come to Jesus, get ready for some things to shake. When you finally purpose in your heart, I don't care what it costs me, I don't care what it looks like, I'm getting to Jesus, get ready for some shaking to go on. It says, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You know, I love how they translated, you know, our English, we think we're so advanced. Our English language, our modern English is so primitive.
Yeah.
In its meaning. See, when it says that he rolled back the stone in the Aramaic, in the Greek, it doesn't mean he just simply came and just rolled it gingerly. It means he launched it. He threw it. There was no chance that stone was ever going back into that spot. They claim that stone was rolled and shattered. Now, you can move some rocks. You can roll some rocks. We've seen them roll down mountains that they don't break up, and they maybe a dust particle here or there. No, when this thing was rolled away, thrown away, it was destroyed. That this tomb would never be sealed up. That this stone that was blocking them from getting to their Jesus, there's nothing that will ever, say ever,
ever
block us from getting to our Jesus. Amen. So he rolls the stone. He throws the stone. It's busted up. He sat upon the sepulcher. He's just sitting there waiting. Why? Because somebody asked the right question. Who? Who? Who's going to move this stone? God says, I've got it. I'll send an angel. You know, that stone was not moved for Jesus. That stone was rolled for us.
Yes.
Jesus didn't need that stone to be moved. He proved that many times. At one point, there's a church service going on, and Jesus just walked right through the wall. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. And he did. And he proved it. He walked right into the middle of that church service, doors locked, deadbolt on, chains on. And he said, that's not going to stop me. So you think a stone was going to stop him? That stone wasn't moved for him. That was moved for you and I. To remove fear. To remove doubt. To remove unbelief. Verse 3 says, his countenance was like lightning. Come on. Pure. Piercing. Burning. See, that's what happens when you leave the throne of God. That's what happens when you leave the presence of God. The righteousness of God gets on you. It's blinding to the sinful nature. It's blinding to this carnal way of living down here. It's blinding to. It says that his countenance was like lightning. He's beaming with the glory of God. See, when you purpose to get before Jesus, get ready for the light of Christ to shine on some things. Get ready for his anointing to reveal some things. Gospel of John chapter 1, it says that Jesus was made manifest. The word was made manifest. But then it also goes on to deal with the fact, he says, listen, he came to the world. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. And it tells us why they didn't want him. lest the light of Christ shine upon them in their sin, their carnal nature, the iniquity within their hearts, if it would be made manifest or revealed. They wanted to hang on to what they had. But when the light of Christ shows up, when the anointing of God is present, oh man, come on, it reveals some things. It shows some things. It's blinding, but it's a good blinding. It's a blinding to sin, but it's a revealing to the saint. His countenance was like lightning. His remnant, white as snow. His clothing. Now, you and I, it's not showing up to Easter service with a white suit on. You can if you want. Praise God. All the power to you. It's not the white suit. It's not the white shirt. It's not the white tie. It's talk. You know, this is a reflection of how you and I are supposed to be after we've come to Christ. That our lifestyle, our livelihood, how we walk, how we talk, how we live, how we think, it's now pure before God. Not that he says it's okay to keep doing what you've been doing. But because of him, things begin to change and shift in our lives. The stones that were blocking, the stones that kept us bound in the tombs of that carnal nature, that carnal way of living, that carnal way of thinking, the stones that kept us bound in the angel, the anointing of God, has moved those stones of religion.
Yes.
I'll move that stone of your past. I'll move that stone of betrayal that's kept you bound in that tomb. I'll move that stone of pick something. God says, I'll move that stone. But it takes somebody saying, who? Who's going to move this? God says, I will. Because no human could have moved this stone once it fell into its place. His countenance was like lightning, the remnant white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. I love that verse. Because as I'm thinking about this and what I'm preaching on right now, God is removing those stones in our lives right now. Who do you think put them in that place? Oh, sure, Satan will use people. He'll use different things. He'll use events. He'll use tragedies. Of course, he'll use your past. He'll use your thinking. But ultimately, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? We wrestle against principalities, rules of darkness, wickedness in high places. We rule. It's demonic forces. Satan has become so slick at this. He gives you a thought and convinces you it's your thought. He tells you you'll never amount to anything, and he convinces you, no, that's what you think about yourself.
Wow.
A tragedy happens, a betrayal happens, and he convinces you you brought it upon yourself. Now deal with it. Now maybe you did. And if you did, he'll convince you you deserve it, and God doesn't care about you. And he'll get you to take ownership of that. But when somebody says, who can remove this stone? Who is able? Who is worthy? Don't we sing a song about that? Who is worthy to open up the scrolls? There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Amen? That when Jesus and his anointing begins to work in our lives, and those stones are being rolled away, thrown out of their place, destroyed and shattered, the keepers... See, sure, we're talking about natural things in this moment. But 2,000 years ago, this natural thing still has a spiritual application to you and I right now.
Yes.
When God starts removing those stones, the keepers, those demonic forces, those demons that would lie and convince you that you have to stay bound in this, you got to stay in this, you'll never be better than this. You'll never be better than, listen, I don't know where you came from. You'll never be better than your parents. Your parents were on the wrong side of the track, you'll be on the wrong side of the track, and your kids will be on the wrong side of the track. They'll convince you that you can't come out of where you came out of. They'll tell you that, well, granddad had this, dad had this, so you're going to have this. They'll convince you that you have to keep this and go down the list. They'll convince you, well, grandma had this thing, she checked out, mom checked out, therefore I have to check out. You can do whatever you want, but I think I would rather stick with this where he said I can be healed, delivered, set free. I can walk in wholeness. I can have a sound mind. Amen. That when Jesus begins to roll these stones away, stones of fear, stones of worry, stones of doubt, when he begins to roll these stones away, the keepers that have kept you bound, they start to quake and shake. They start to fall to the ground as dead men. That the demonic forces, the demonic activity has no rule, has no authority, has no place. And they can't even be smart enough collectively to put that stone back together, to put it back in its place. Shattered, destroyed. It's his anointing. Lifts burdens, breaks, destroys yokes. Right?
Yes.
Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. God knows who's seeking him and who's not. God knows who's in church looking for him and who's not.
Right.
God knows who's trying to walk with him and who's not. God knows who is trying to just get the out of jail free card. Those who are not satisfied with just the get out of jail free, but they want boardwalk as well. Because God said I can have it.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about the property. And I'm referring to Monopoly, but I'm not. Some of you are looking at me, boardwalk. What does boardwalk have to do with this? I know it's an old person's game now. I get that. Because I don't think we can play that on this anymore. So we have no idea. You get the point.
Yeah.
And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He was dead.
Yeah.
He was laying in here.
Come on.
But come and see for yourself.
Yes.
He's no longer here.
Amen.
He is not here, for he is risen. He is risen. Romans 8:11 says, for the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me. Those dead things in our life that God says it's time for them to come back alive. Those relationships that are dead that God has said, I'm going to restore them. Those issues in your life that God says, I'm about to deal with them. The same anointing that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Those dead things, God is rolling the stones away even today. That healing you've been believing for, God says it's time for that stone to be rolled away.
Amen.
Amen. That fear, that doubt, that worry, family members who have mouthed off, family members who said it's not going to happen, family members who said it's taking too long, God's not going to do it. Healing is coming.
Yeah.
Healing is coming.
Yes.
This is but for a moment. I can see this by the eye of faith. Not being funny, but I can see those hearing aids just popping out of your ears. Not because you have to remove them, but God saying, it's time they got to go. You don't do what she did unless you're believing that God is going to work a miracle. And if you haven't picked up on it, every year she gets better and better. And she's hitting notes, and I'm sorry. She's hitting notes that deaf people can't hit. God's rolling stones away.
Yes.
Amen. God's dealing with people. He's in the stone rolling business.
Yes.
It's Resurrection Sunday. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us.
Amen.
That healing miracle is still working in us.
Yes.
That delivering power is still working in us.
Yes.
Because God said so.
Yes.
And when he walked out of that grave, it proved that everything he said was true.
Amen.
Amen. He is not here, for he is risen. Say, he's risen.
He's risen.
Say it like you mean it. He's risen.
He's risen.
He is risen. As he saith, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He's not there.
Not there.
The stone wasn't moved for him. It was moved for us. It was moved so we could peek into that and go, nope, he's not there. He's not dead. He's very much alive.
Amen.
Well, I haven't seen him. Yeah, you have.
Yep.
Look around.
Amen.
There was a whole bunch of dead people in here.
Yeah.
Now we're alive.
Amen.
There was a whole bunch of people in here separated from God, but now we're walking with this God. There was a whole bunch of people in here sick, distressed, broken, you know, messed up, goofed up, but look around. There's restoration happening here. There were marriages that were on the verge, on the brink of disaster, but God showed up.
Yes.
Look around. God's here.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is still working. Jesus is still healing.
Yes.
Stones are being rolled away. Say it, stones are being rolled away. For he is risen. Come and see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples. I don't know about you, but I think it's a little disappointing that the disciples weren't the first ones there. That's another whole issue by itself. But thank God somebody was. And Miss Ramona said the sisters showed up. Thank God for the sisters. Most of the time it's the sisters that keep us in line. They keep us going. Praise God. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. And lo, I have told you. I've proved it to you. I've declared it to you. Look and see. You asked who's going to move the stone. I took care of it. Now what's holding you back? Now what's resisting you? Nothing. The stone's over there, torn apart. You can't put it back. I've shown you the tomb. It's empty. Go and tell. Tell everybody. Tell his disciples. And go tell his disciples that he's waiting for you. He's about to show up again. Amen. He's about to deal with some things. Amen? Amen. And they departed quickly, verse 8, from the sepulcher with fear. Oh, I bet. Come on, when God begins to do things, when God begins to show up like this, sure, it's good to have a little bit of fear. It keeps you in a place of humility. My God, can you imagine that day? They watched Christ laid in the tomb. They watched the stone rolled. Again, today we don't think the way they did. See, when we have our little cemetery and our funeral services, we have this box, we put the casket, we put the cover down. We can open up whenever we want, not in this day. Once you sealed it, it was done. It was over. You're not going back. You're not looking. Who's going to move this stone? Imagine that. Think about these ladies. And now think about your walk in your life. Anytime you've had that question, how is this going to happen? Who's going to do this? How is this possible? And God says, watch. Yes. Just watch. Watch what I'm about to do. Amen. You ask the question, I'm going to answer it. Not just with word, but with action. Amen. Who's going to move the stone? I'll send an angel. Who's going to reach my loved one that nobody can get to? Just keep asking God. God can send whoever he wants. Yes. I mentioned it the other night. Miss Ramona's here. I'm convinced it was an angel that brought her here. Yeah. Nobody will convince me otherwise. Because she can't find him. We can't find him. And he claimed this was his church. And nobody's ever seen this man before. Yeah. I'm convinced it was an angel. I don't feel at home anywhere. Now, she's got her way of that she said it, but that she was living. I know to serve you. I know I got to sit somewhere. I'm going to be somewhere. But Lord, where? And God said, I'll answer that. I'll send somebody. And if he can't send one of us, he'll send an angel.
Yes. Amen.
Now, in this case, a man, a human, a group of humans could not move that stone. So God says, I've got it. Just watch. Just like he's done for each and every one of us. Different things, different issues. How's it going to be? Don't know. Don't care. God will answer it. Amen. And I think he's saying the same thing from his throne today. Just watch. Watch what I'm about to do. Watch how I'm about to handle that one. Watch how I'm about to deal with that loved one. Watch how I'm about to deal with that whoever. Watch how I'm about to deal with that accuser. Watch how I'm about to deal with that issue. Watch how I'm about to deal with that banker. Watch how I'm about to deal with it. And he says, just watch. But it starts with that heart of, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. Amen. They departed quickly with fear and great joy. Come on. Great joy. Why? Jesus is risen.
Yes.
He proved he's not just the great teacher. He's not just the great prophet. He is the Son of the living God. He's God Almighty. He's the risen Savior. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He proved in this moment who he really is. Not who he was, who he's always been.
Amen.
They're running, they're going, they're telling everybody, Jesus is alive.
Amen.
And we're still doing the same thing. As we look around, as we see, no matter what issues bring, what life brings, we continue to see different things, issues, problems. Jesus said, in this life, are you living? Some of you aren't sure. Okay, look at your neighbor, breathe in their face, and when they smack you because you haven't brushed your teeth, they'll tell you if you're living or not. Well, then again, they might think your breath smells like you're dead. Come on, if we're living on this planet, we know full well there's issues that this life brings all by itself. And then you meet Jesus Christ. You get born again. You become public enemy number one to Satan and his kingdom. And I think most of us had the same statement. I didn't have these issues before I started going to church. Of course you didn't. You were going to hell. Why are you a threat? Why is he going to bother with you? He's got you right where he wants you. We start going to church. We start getting around God's people. We start getting around God's things. We start growing in the things of God. We start to see stones being rolled away in our lives. Fear, worry, doubt, issues, problems. And God begins showing up, moving, going, dealing with things in our lives. Oh, Satan can't stand by. He hates that. But the one thing he can't stop is God's anointing working in your life. So he frustrates, he irritates. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. Get ready, stuff's going to happen. Then you meet the enemy that we all have, Satan. He's going to bring some issues. Have you figured that out? Yeah. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. Why? Because he's already overcome him. He's already overcome the world. He's got the victory. And you just got to ask him, Lord, who? How? When? And God's going to say the same thing. Just watch. I'm about to remove that stone. And when I move it, I'm going to throw it. It's going to be destroyed. Nobody's going to put it back. And victory will be everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
So great joy. Why? Because their king is risen. They finally got the revelation. Wait a minute. He wasn't just a great teacher. He's the Son of the living God. He is God. Now, you and I, we look back. Romans 8, again, verse 11. The same power, the power of God that raised Christ from the dead, death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Satan could not stop him. Jesus said, we're going to do the same things that he did, but greater. If the same anointing did all of that for our Savior, then Satan can't stop you. Whatever tomb that is that you're in right now, it can't hold you. And even if it feels like this deal is over, we've lost, it's done, no, it can't keep you there. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead is working in us right now. Not just to get us to heaven, but to live like we're going to heaven. To enjoy that anointing and that power down here right now. It's Resurrection Sunday. We're rejoicing. We're celebrating just as they did because we know something that the disciples hadn't figured out yet. Jesus is God.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to become. He always was. He always will be. He'll never cease to be. And that same anointing is working today in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Whatever that stone is in your life, if it's religion, that sounds like a funny thing to some of us, but in New England, that's a major issue. There's a religious spirit that hovers over New England. So maybe it's religion that's got you bound. Well, I want to serve God. I want to go to church. I want to do. But I came out of this. I don't know about this. No. God died for you, just as he died for us. It takes you bowing your heart to him just like we did. And the same thing he's doing in our lives, he'll do in your life. But maybe that stone of religion has to be rolled away. Maybe that stone of betrayal has to be rolled away. Maybe it's that stone. Our brother Tim is over here, but Sonny's got the same testimony. You know, those who have served on battlefields. That comes with its own warfare. Maybe it's, you know, the term we use today is PTSD. Years ago it was shell shock, and we get different terms for it over the years, but it's that tragic events, those things that you experience, life-altering events, that demons come to try to keep you reliving those moments and bring that fear and that worry back. Maybe that's that tomb that you're stuck in right now. I can use these two men because God's already working on them. God's delivered them, and they're walking under the newness and the anointing of Jesus Christ. They know the experience of those stones being rolled away. Amen. That Jesus, just like he did Lazarus, get the stone out of the way. Amen. You know what Jesus didn't do? Jesus didn't go into the tomb. He stood outside the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. See, Jesus doesn't have to go into whatever tomb you're in, but he'll move the stone so you can come out.
Amen.
And then when you come out, he's going to send God's people to surround you.
Thank you, Lord.
Just like he did with Lazarus. He came out of the tomb, all bound up, and he says, all right, guys, now loose the grave clothing off of him. That's why we need a body of believers.
Amen.
That's why God gave us the church.
Yes.
That's why Jesus is the head of the church, because he knows where his resurrection power not only resides, but where people learn about it. That no matter what tomb that stone is blocking in your life, Jesus is saying today is the day that stone's rolled away.
Amen.
Because he is the risen Savior. The resurrection power that's working and raised him is still working in you and I today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is very much alive. Jesus is very much working in people's lives. And Jesus is not done yet.
Amen.
When he said, I'm coming back, because he's coming back. He said, I'm coming back for a glorious. Say glorious.
Glorious.
He said, I'm coming back for a victorious. Say victorious.
Victorious.
He said, I'm coming back for a glorious and victorious church. That's you and me.
Yes.
That's not the building. So if he's coming back for that type of church, don't you think victory is in the forecast?
Yes.
Don't you think his glory is in the forecast?
Yes.
Don't you think he's not done with us yet?
Yes.
So if you really believe that, stand up and give the Lord some praise in the house that he's not done. This is Resurrection Sunday. And God is about to resurrect some things in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you. There is so much we could preach about as you're continuing to just deal with us today, help us today as we go about and we celebrate dinners and family. May we continue to reflect on the work that you've done, the work that you're doing, and the work that you're about to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you. Each and every day that we wake up with breath in our lungs, we know you're not done with us. It's a good day because it's your day. It's a great day because you're walking with us. You're helping us. You're anointing us. You're dealing with us. And victory is in the forecast. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.